This is episode number 60 of DevOps Paradox with Darren Pope and Victor Farsik. I am Darren.
And I'm Victor.
And today we're going to build on what we were talking about last week. Now, if you haven't listened to last week's episode yet, pause, go listen to last week's episode, and then come back. We're not going to wait for 30 minutes while you do that. But in case you don't want to go listen right now, we'll give you a quick 30-second summary. If you are building greenfield business applications today, and you are wanting to deploy to cloud, if you are not deploying to Kubernetes on the cloud, you're making a very poor decision for your company, is what you're doing. That's the gist of what we talked about last week. Now, you can disagree with us, and that's fine. Because are we saying that if you're a technology company and you're building databases and you're not deploying to Kubernetes, that's dumb? No, we're not saying that. What we're saying is business applications, right? I'm building microservices. Ignore what that really means. Or I'm building some sort of API type stuff. That's what we're talking about. Now, what we wanted to build on top of, since Kubernetes is a platform, we have a question asked, or actually Victor had, I don't have it asked of me very often, but Victor has it asked of him multiple times per day. And that question is, what problems does Jenkins X really solve?
All of them.
It solves all of them. Okay, great. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay, so we're joking, but not really, but yes, we are. Right? Because it doesn't solve every problem.
No. It doesn't solve every, nothing solves every problem. Whomever tells you something that solves every problem, that somebody is either working for Oracle or is insane as well.
I probably should beep that one out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we like Oracle.
Hey, if it wasn't for Oracle, we wouldn't have had Hudson, which gave us Jenkins, which then gave us Jenkins X.
Yes. We would have Hudson from Sun. And it would never get renamed into Jenkins.
As much as we love to hate Oracle, they have served a great purpose. We can joke about a lot of other things about it. But Oracle has helped lay the foundation for where we are today.
Yes, that is true.
But now let's ignore Oracle for the rest of the conversation.
No more Oracle. Whenever I want an example, I will use IBM from now on.
Okay, good. Well, we have to be careful now because the guy that used to run Red Hat is now in charge of IBM. And he's a good guy. I like him.
Oh, yeah. And I actually wish him well. I really would like to see IBM steering in the direction of Red Hat instead of eating Red Hat.
I'm excited about that. But that's not what we're talking about today. We need to talk about that a different day. But so let's get back to the question at hand is, what problems does Jenkins X solve?
So I think on a first look, it is a CI/CD tool. That's how it started, I would say. And there are many tools that solve problems. How do you do? What is the tool you want to use for CI/CD? Right. That's not a really big problem. I think what it solves, and I'm building now on the previous conversation about Kubernetes, is that once we all agree that you are jumping into Kubernetes, unless you're already there, then you're faced with a huge issue of Kubernetes being very innovative, and innovation today means many different vendors, many different companies, many different open source projects trying to solve different problems within Kubernetes ecosystem, right? How do you do logging? How do you do networking? How do you do monitoring and so on and so forth? So we are all seeing tremendous level of innovation in basically almost every aspect of software industry or software delivery lifecycle. But the problem with that level of innovation is you need to figure out what you're going to choose, what you're going to use, how you are going to use it, and what will be the processes around it. So I think that what we are trying to do, what Jenkins X is trying to do, is to provide opinion about each step in a life cycle of an application. Like, a simple question, and this is a question that I get asked often is, okay, we're actually not a question that I get asked, but a statement. Okay, so we are building container images with Docker. We hear that almost every day. And then I freak out and say, are you insane? You cannot build, sorry, not insane. Are you uninformed? You cannot build container images with Docker because Docker can run only on a node. It can only run as a daemon. That means that you need to mount a socket or make your containers from which you're building images privileged. That means that you will potentially be much less secure because other people can take control of your Docker daemon and through Docker daemon can take control of your cluster. And you're doing things without Kubernetes knowing, so you're impeding Kubernetes to do its work, how to schedule things correctly, and so on and so forth. So I have like at least 15 minutes, sometimes much longer, rambling about how that is a bad idea. And then people get tired of me and say, okay, so what should we do? And then we start discussing for a long period of time, should you use Builda? Should you use Kaniko? Should you use this? Should you use that? Right? It can take just a simple thing and probably one of the seamlessly simplest things possible, how to build a container image, can turn into being a complicated decision that requires a lot of information, a lot of learning, a lot of exploring to figure it out because there are too many solutions. Now, where JackieSex jumps in, I think, is trying to provide opinions what are good ways to do certain things. We, for example, prefer to build images with Kaniko because of this and this and that. If you want to deploy your application, then yeah, again, there is 50,000 different ways how you can define your application, but we say that this might be a good way to do it, and so on and so forth. So it gives you opinionated life cycle of your application, which you can change. And this is, I think, also a good thing because we are much into GitOps, so everything ends up being a file. There is no hidden magic, and you can say, no, I don't agree with this part, I'm going to change. But you get a working solution for a full life cycle of your application from idea until production as a base in like 15 seconds. And I think that that's what differentiates it compared to other tools. And I'm going to say one of the tools I worked in, Jenkins, so that I don't do negative marketing for others, but Jenkins does much more things. But it's a blank slate. So you need to figure out what you want to do instead of starting with a good position.
It's sort of like if you're an application developer, and if you're old like me, you remember the initial release of Spring Framework, the 1x version of the Spring Framework, and now you have Spring Boot, which can make things much simpler. So that's the basic comparison of Jenkins to Jenkins X. Is Jenkins X or Jenkins, you can go at it whichever way you want. Jenkins X, hey, there's different ways of doing these things. What is the name of that opinionation? Is it build pack? Is that the right? Or what's the correct phrasing for that today?
So build pack is a collection of starter templates, right? That give you the configuration files for Dockerfile and Makefile and Scaffold and all many different things. But that's a kind of like base. And then we start talking about if today you want to provide certain traceability of what you're doing, you're going to store everything in Git. That means that you're adopting GitOps because Git is the source of truth and so on and so forth. I'm not entering now deep into subject. We can do that. But then, yes, so GitOps is the way to do. We're going to provide a mechanism to do that. ChatOps is a nice thing if you want to record everything happening. So it provides opinions how to... Let me rephrase actually that. I think that it codifies good practices. While Jenkins would allows you to codify good practices.
So Jenkins allows you to codify practices. Jenkins X provides you codified practices.
Yes, exactly.
Is that one of the problems that Jenkins X solves, is providing codified best practices as defined by, and this is the big question, who defined them?
it's a open source project. It's community.
So whoever wrote it defined it, right?
Yeah.
Nobody, and unless somebody fights against it, it's now considered to be a quote-unquote best practice? That's a question.
I don't know if you noticed, I'm not actually using word best practice. I'm using good practice because best practice, yeah.
Yeah, because there is no true best practice.
Exactly. But it's kind of codifying things that, and we might argue because nobody's perfect, but that the community thinks are good practices. Like, for example, there is a huge move towards codifying DORA, which is based on a lot of data that proves how certain teams are better than others, depending on what they do, what they don't do, and so on and so forth. So it's just codifying good practices. And the beauty, I think, that... So there is a technical aspect of JenkinsX that we are trying to provide as a product better solution than others. But those good practices, we don't have interest to promote one or the other. It's purely what we like. Not that much what we have interest in. We have, of course, every product has certain interests, but they're in other areas, kind of. Who are we going to use? Tecton, or we're going to use something else from technical perspective. What on a best practices, it's just whatever works best. Or we believe it works well, right? Now, if you're Kelsey Hightower, you might say, hey, man, look, I invented good practices in Kubernetes. I don't need you to tell me what are good practices. And then the value of JenkinsX, I think it's still valuable, but not as high, right? But if you're starting, if you're unsure in all those things that I mentioned and hundreds of others, if you haven't made all the choices that you will ever want to make in Kubernetes, then it's wonderful because it gives you just a quick start.
So number one, one of the problems that JenkinsX solves is codifying, however you want to say it, good practices.
Yes.
What's another thing that JenkinsX solves?
It's open source. I was about to say it's open source. That doesn't solve. That's not the solution. Excellent. Yes.
You've been doing too much marketing. Okay, come on. What's another thing that it really solves? Now, obviously, that first one that we just said is huge. We're sort of saying, we're glossing over it, but being able to say, hey, here's my application. I want to follow this practice. Go. Right? Just it just follows on from there. As long as I play within those guardrails, it just works. So that's a good thing. But that only gets me so far. So what are the other problems that JenkinsX can solve for us?
But I would say actually that gets you almost everything, because if you say that it solves, it provides full life cycle of your application, right? From the creation of the first file in your project all the way until it is running in production, then basically the only thing that it doesn't solve is you writing code. So basically the idea is you write code, you push to Git, and things happen. And those things that happen are already predefined. You can change them so that other things happen. That's okay. But with sensible, predefined actions, right? Let's say. So now it doesn't solve anything beyond full automation of life cycle of your application. But most of the rest of the things you're supposed to do, and actually I think most of the things that 99% of people should be doing is write code and push to Git. What else is there to do?
Well, if you're an application developer, hopefully you're not actually operating the Kubernetes cluster.
But that's the thing. If you want to operate the Kubernetes cluster, you're still going to change something. Let's say maybe you're going to change some Terraform definition and you're going to push it to Git. To me, that's on the same level as application development. That's, in my head, that's code. Anything that is that human writes and it's readable by a machine, that's writing code. Now, I know that some people will disagree with me and say, writing YAML is not code. But my definition of code is it's written by humans, readable by machines.
If you as a human have to care about how many spaces you're typing in, it's code.
Exactly.
So you went away. You're pulling the marketing thing on me.
Yeah.
Okay. So the number one thing that JenkinsX solves is codifying good practices.
Yes.
Is that the only thing that it solves?
I think it is. Maybe you have another. I'm missing something, but except that I would say codifying best practices that envelop the whole lifecycle of your application.
You said best. You meant good, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm going to put a dollar in a swear jar.
Best is just like saying swear. It's a swear word now, right?
I think that we had a discussion about that also before. Not best practices, but it's not. I do not necessarily have anything against best practices. What I do have against is how best practices term is effectively used. And I see that best practices is something that somebody says is a best practice and everybody must use that forever and ever. It's like one of the Ten Commandments.
Best is time bound.
Yes. So,
or it should be time bound.
Best practice is a good term if I ignore how people use it. But I'm saying good practice mostly to distinguish.
So a good practice means it's always good. It's sort of evergreen. It's doubtful that a good practice will ever go bad. And it's doubtful that a best practice will become a worse practice.
Good practice is as in when I say that my daughter is good, what I really mean is that she was good child behaving well today, and tomorrow we'll see. We don't know.
Well, okay, I'll give something not so much in that direction, but my daughter used to fence. And she came in first at an event, at a national event. She was 12. She's now 27. So I can no longer say she is the best fencer today. She was the best fencer that day, but 15 years later, she's not the best fencer anymore.
Exactly. The only difference is that it takes like approximately a couple of weeks until a good practice in Kubernetes stays good practice or best practice or whatever you want to call it.
A best practice today does not guarantee that it's a best practice tomorrow. It may be, but it may not be. Whereas a good practice probably will always be a reasonably good practice.
And also, no matter how you call it, it always depends on the context. Like here, I tend to say Kubernetes is the best thing that happened after peanut butter, but in reality, it's not the best solution for everything. It just fulfills certain use cases, certain needs. And tomorrow it might fulfill other needs or none of those at all. And the same thing with best practices. It's not the best practice to write over getter setters. It's a best practice to write getter setters in Java when there are certain conditions and your application does this or that, right? Not by default. Nothing is good by default.
Well, unless you're getting paid by lines of code you write, then getters and setters are wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not getting paid by lines of code you're writing, then I can't remember what the Java thing was that generates all the getters and setters for you automatically. There's some magic annotation that'll do it for you. But that's not what we're talking about.
Depends when you count lines of code, do you count comments?
Of course.
Oh, then it's easy. It's easy to get well paid. Is that why Perl developers are complaining that they're not paid enough? Because they can write the whole application in two lines?
In two lines, yeah. They're really long lines, but they can be written in two lines. Okay. So let's boil it down. Which problems was probably overstating it? The primary problem, there's other things that Jenkins X solves, but the primary problem that Jenkins X solves is that it provides good practices, codified good practices. What was the finish of the sentence of that? For
the full lifecycle of your application.
For the full lifecycle of the application. If you don't like how those practices are, great. Modify it. Massage it a little bit to get it to where you want it. If you still don't like that, fork. How would you do that? Would you fork that process to come up with your own? What's the proper process for that? If you don't like the good practice that was presented to you, how would you fix it?
If I would describe it as a collection of good practices, right? Kind of now you do this, now you do that, now you do this and stuff like that. And you use this tool and that tool and stuff like that. So it's a collection of many things for a if you can imagine a full life cycle of something. It's a big thing, right? Now, if you say I want to change those two things or those two parts of the process and stuff like that. So let's say if you want to change 10%, 15%, 20%, then yes, you just change the files because they are all in Git and then different things happen. That's fine. Now, if you say, look, I disagree with 90% of those good practices or opinionated way to do stuff, then just don't go there at all. Jenkins, for example, and for those same like Bamboo and TeamCity and GitLab and stuff, they can do many, many different things. They're good for many, many, many different things. And we might argue that it's not as the best in any single one of those things, but it's good at many, many things. It's very generalistic tools. And that's great because it gives you freedom to do almost anything you want. JenkinsX, no. JenkinsX is opinionated and if you don't run Kubernetes, then go away. If you don't like GitOps, if you think that's a silly idea, that's non-negotiable, also go away. Now, if you don't like, let's say, Kaniko for building images, then you change it to build with something else, and that's okay. So it really depends on some are non-negotiable practices, while others are just opinion. I like Nexus more than Artifactory, right? So Nexus comes by default. You want Artifactory, go for it. I don't really care. It's easy change.
Have you said your piece?
I said my piece. Yes, I did.
Anything else you want to say about JenkinsX problem solving? Is it Turing complete?
Not yet.
Okay.
Is
anything ever truly Turing complete?
We probably wouldn't know if it is.
Exactly. It's like shooting an arrow and having the distance. The arrow will never reach its intended target.
Exactly.
Well, I think that's a great way to sort of wrap it up for today. If you disagree with us, that's okay. We welcome disagreement.
Yes.
Go listen to the episode with Yoast. We politely disagreed. He politely disagreed with us. We politely disagreed amongst all three of us, I believe, when it's all said and done.
But it's unfair. So this is a complaint that I'm putting to ourselves. We did find a couple of people disagreeing with us and joining us in the show, but none of them ended up disagreeing with us at the end as a whole. So we need to find somebody who really hates our guts, who really thinks that we are talking to complete. If you are such a person, contact us.
Send Victor a message on Twitter. Better yet, join the Slack workspace. In the show notes, there's a link down to the Slack workspace.
Yes, because I think that this situation with confinement and corona is making me more aggressive, and I'm looking, I cannot yell at my family, and Darin is such a calm person, so I need to yell at somebody. So come to the show so that I can yell at you because I really disagree.
867530. Okay, so that's a different story. If you are listening right now via Apple Podcast, please subscribe and go ahead and leave a rating and review. All of our contact information, including Twitter and LinkedIn. Seriously, reach out, talk to us. We'd love to have you on. It can be found at devopsparadox.com/contact. And if you'd like to be notified by email anytime a new episode is released, you can sign up at devopsparadox.com. The sign-up form is at the top of every page. And there are the links to the Slack workspace, the Voxer account, and how to leave a review in the description of this episode. If you want to see really chaotic things happen, at least in our head they're chaotic, join us for our live streams. If you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel yet, go ahead and do that as well. The link to the YouTube channel is down below in the show notes as well. That is completely live, unscripted, typically, and unedited. Most importantly, unedited.
Are you saying that this is scripted?
It's scripted to the point that we actually had an idea of what we're going to talk about today. But that's about as scripted as it got. We're never fully scripted. Except at the close here, because if you listen to the ending, that part is reasonably scripted. So JenkinsX, if you haven't tried it out, try it out. Let me rephrase that. If you're running Kubernetes workloads and you're trying to find a good CI/CD solution, I'm making sure I'm still saying the right things here, because I work on the other side of the house. If you're building Kubernetes workloads and you don't have a CI/CD solution yet, consider JenkinsX.
Yes.
That's a reasonable statement, right?
It's free. It's open source. Just try it.
Just try it. And if you don't like it, please let Victor know.
Yes. Then I can fix it.
And then he can fix it.
Or I can promise I'm going to fix it and not fix it. But
you wouldn't do that. No. Thanks again for listening to episode number 60 of DevOps Paradox.